Good to be back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Rosie and I had a wonderful vacation. Thank you, Lord. Much needed R&R. And I have to tell y'all that it probably was the first time in 8 years that we've been able to disconnect and really rest. And it was a huge, huge blessing. Now, let me tell you something. We're all fired up. Okay? And we're ready to rock and roll. And I'm going to tell you that the Lord wants to do some mighty things here in this body, in your lives, and in this body. And as we have gone through, I know that Pastor Jim and Pastor Sean taught these last couple of weeks, and they kind of prepped you for where we're going. And in this season, this time that we are living in right now, these last minutes, what I call the last minutes of these last days, we have been prepared. The Lord's laid it on my heart to teach this way, to prepare you so that you're not caught off guard. Now, the next step for us, and again, it started with Pastor Jim and Pastor Sean, how we personally live out in Jesus Christ the ugliness, the darkness, the evil of these last days, how we live out in the light, how we live it out in the victory that we have, what we're called to, how we live out successfully, how we live out in peace, how we live it out no matter what in the world is going on with our government. No matter what in the world goes on and happens in the election, no matter what in the world happens as these last minutes of these last days progress to the return of Jesus Christ. And you understand, we are in the last days. This is real. This is not, hey, it's going to come, you know, someday, maybe, you know, no, we're there. I don't know when the Lord's going to split the skies, but it's close. And I don't mean close like, oh, you know, maybe it'll come in the next lifetime or two. No, I mean it's close. And you can go back to the podcast and listen to what I've taught previously. But I want you to understand this is a reality of what we live in now. This is where we're at. So how do we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the true disciple. I'm not talking about somebody that's, it's just words. It's not really their heart and it's not really their life. It's conditional. It's maybe I will today and maybe I won't today. I'm going to go how I feel. But I'm talking about somebody that's truly following the Lord. How do we live this out in a real sense? Now, I like to get real. Okay? I want to always be real with all of you, with our church, with what goes out on our podcast, our videos. Because honestly, I'm on the downside of this life. I'm older than I look. I'll pay you later, Dave. The time that I have left, God has given me this mandate to get across to as many as I can. This is my platform for the rest of my life. This is it. God has given each one of us a platform. Okay? We all have it. Sometimes it changes, but we all have a platform. Right now, this is mine. And what God has given to me and said to me very specifically and very directly is, get them ready for my coming. Get them ready to live through these last days. Get them ready to live in the victories. Get them ready to be successful. And get them ready to change.
Amen.
Now, change can be scary. Right? Who likes change? it's pretty well a general consensus among the whole world that nobody likes change. Why? Because it's hard, it's different, it's out of the norm, it's uncomfortable. There's the unknown. But what the Lord is saying to you today is get ready for change. Now, this is change in your life. Change from the status quo. Change from the way that things have always been. He's just saying, you know, he's just saying, get ready, all right? Because things are going to change, and you're going to change based on the times, the life, the word, and the spirit. Now, I believe we have a, you know, in our church, there's a, some churches are really Holy Ghost churches. I mean, almost entirely, and some churches are pure word churches, and I believe that we, I'm biased, but I believe we have a balance between the Holy Spirit and the word. And this is important that we live this way, because this is a part of what's got to be in our lives, is this balance between the word and the Holy Spirit as we walk through these last days. And the changes, not only that are happening externally, but the changes that the Lord is doing internally in all of us. Okay, I've said all that to preface this message. The title of the message is called Jolted. And the picture, as you think about this, jolted, is, if you've ever been in an emergency room in a hospital, or seen an EMT work, or been on a hazmat team, like I've been, they have defibrillators. Defibrillator. Blah. Okay, you know what I mean, right? I don't know why it always comes out like that, but it does. So you got the meaning, okay? And what they're for are these electric shock paddles that they place on the heart when the heart stops. Really to get somebody jump-started, to get their heart jump-started again so they come back from death to life, right? Here's the condition of the church. And I'm going to talk specifically about the American church. Because if you don't have a worldview or world knowledge, I want you to understand that we have been incredibly spoiled.
Amen.
And we've gotten complacent.
Yes.
We've gotten self-centered. We've gotten lazy, and we kind of think that everybody lives the same way we do, and they don't. Most of the world live differently than we do.
Amen.
What's happening in our country has jolted us, the church, or it should, with defibrillators. It's been a spiritual jolt, a spiritual shock to bring the American church back to life. This has been our wake-up call, and the wake-up call is not over. All right? So the jolting is not done. Now, you all know, I told you that we're going to have a good time. Things are going to get good again. Okay? This is prophetic. This is a word. Consider it. Things are going to get good again. How good? I don't know. But it's going to get good again. With everything. No matter who wins the election. And then, when we're nice and secure, things are going to turn. That's what you've been getting prepared for, and the changes that are happening externally and in us that the Lord's doing. So this jolting is to help us change our lives. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please? Ephesians chapter 2, and some of you are familiar with this. Most of you probably are. Some of you are not. But this is going to be the basis of where we jump off from. And Paul, our brother Paul, Apostle Paul, is speaking to the church of Jesus Christ. He's not speaking to people who do not know him. He's speaking to those who are born again. Who have said, Jesus, I've been a sinner. Man, I've blown it. I've messed up. I've wasted my life. Whatever it's been, I believe the wrong things. I believe that there's other ways to heaven except for you. I've followed all kinds of other garbage. He's writing to those who have said, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you are the only way to the Father. You are the only way to eternal life. You are the only way into the grace of God. It's the gospel. With the grace message, what we know to be the grace message at its core. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position went from death to life. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved and healed and delivered and freed and made righteous and given joy and peace. You've been made prosperous. You've been protected. It's given to you. And this is through faith. Simply believing and accepting what he gave. That's it. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works or our own efforts. Religion. Lest anyone accomplish. For we, brothers and sisters, when you look at each other, you see each other, no matter what's going on, we are his workmanship. Created, or should I say recreated, brand new. In Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the point is, Jesus saved us. And in this salvation is everything, every promise, every gift, every blessing, everything. Without us having to do anything except believe the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, for our sins, and then receive the fullness of all God's given to us because he is love. You know God loves you. He's never been mad at you, ever. At your worst, and I think about my worst. At your worst, he has never been mad at you. Never angry. Never upset. And out of that love, he gave us everything if we would believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. It's that simple. This has been God's plan since the beginning for us. since the very beginning. This has been his will for the world to hear and be able to receive. All of us, not just us exclusively, but everybody. For all of us that would receive, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, I say to you, each one of you, always and continually, that he or she who believes in me, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these you will do, because I go to my Father. And what has happened is the good works that we were created for in Ephesians chapter 2, Jesus said we would do those good works. We were created for these, and we were created for greater works. Can we agree? So we can acknowledge mentally that we were created for good works and created for doing the greater works. Now this includes the supernatural. It includes the way we serve. It includes our hearts. It includes the changes in our lives. It includes being willing to change and wanting to change and go along with what the Lord has for us. That's what this all includes. It's everything. What it requires, if you want to do the greater works, if you want to see the kingdom on earth, you want to see the kingdom of God take place on earth. This is for us. Then it requires the absolute and unconditional. You know what unconditional means? It means I've taken the strings off it. There's nothing attached that says maybe or if. It's the absolute and unconditional surrender of our lives to Him. It's the absolute and unconditional surrender of our will to His will for us. That's what it takes. Isn't going to work any other way. Those good works that we were created for, those greater works Jesus said that we would do, requires us to give up our will, our life, our desires for His, for us. You know, if we believe in what the Word says and what the Lord said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, us to prosper you, give you a future and a hope, and I mean, this includes a whole lot of things. That requires, that scripture, that word requires that we give up our will for our life, our desires for our life, our wants for our life, and take His on. This is how things change. And this changes us. You want to walk through this time in the victories, it requires an absolute and unconditional surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now you can be born again and you can have heaven. I mean, eternal life is there, and you can walk in aspects of the grace of God, but you'll never walk in the fullness of the grace of God. None of us will until we totally surrender to His will for us. That's when things happen. Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you say, whatever you tell me, whatever it is, I will. There is the human condition where the old and dead and corrupted flesh nature rules. And this change that the Lord is doing inside of us doesn't include that. Let me give you an example. In Psalm 106, verse 9, Israel had been delivered. They came out of slavery. God said, I'm going to set you free. You're out of slavery. You're out of the bondage. You're out of the, which was a type of sin. And I'm bringing you out. And I'm bringing you out into the blessings. I want you to understand. I'm going to teach you all about me and all about a relationship and all about righteousness. But I want you to do what I want you to do because it's for you. And they got whiny and complaining. And we look at them and go, I would never do that. Want to bet? We all have been there. Me too. So they're whining and complaining, and there's this worthless manna. That's, you know, why are we trekking around the desert? Man, let's go right to where we're supposed to be. Come on. And I mean, they really beat on the doors of heaven and said, we want meat instead of manna. We want more. We want what we want, the way we want, and when we want. Can I really say that this is a picture of that old corrupted flesh nature? Well, here's what Psalm 106, verse 9 says. He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. He gave them their request. He gave them what they wanted. But what happened was they ended up with, this is, let me say the way the Hebrew says it, they ended up with, they got to have everything. They forsook him and his will for their own and said, this is what I want and the way I want and how I want. I don't want your will for me in this. And it hurt them. The leanness in their soul was an emptiness, a lack. And they did it themselves. Now we do the same thing. And let me give you a real quick example. Oh man, about 20 years ago, I think, Pastor Honey, I think it was about 20 years ago. Rosie and I were part of a church. This was before we went to Bible college. And we'd done a lot of ministering in the Lord and over the years and a lot of serving, a lot of helping. But we were in this church and man, I had gotten the grace message. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm seeing miracles. I'm seeing healings. My body is changing. My all these things that were on me were falling off. And I was changing in my understanding of the truth of the word and grace and faith. And in the church that we were in, God said, I want you to go there. And we would come out of church and we'd hear legalism and religion. And I'd come out and I would have to mentally do these gymnastics to myself. I was ticked because I knew I wasn't getting the truth. I know none of you have been there, and certainly not from here. That was a joke. Look it. Let's be real. We're humans. This is a human condition. We can rise above. It's up to us. God's given us his grace, his ability. So, we're coming out. I'm unwinding the religious and legalistic things that were said. I'm kind of disengaging from those. I had to do this every week. And I'm pounding on the doors of heaven saying, I want out. I want out, Lord. I want out. I want out. I want out. Lord, I want to go someplace else. Please, can we go to another church? Now, Lord said, I want you to go here. Can we go someplace else? Can we go someplace else? Can we? Please, 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 please. Please, please, please. Can we go someplace else? Until he finally said, okay. And we went to another church. And oh my gosh. I'm not going to degrade or downgrade anybody's church, but I will tell you that things were a lot worse. I said, Lord, I want to go. I want to get out of here. He said, no, I want you to stay. He gave me what I wanted and sent leanness to my soul. It was excruciating because of the lack. After a year, the Lord said, now go back to where you came from. The pastor very graciously, he said, come on. I went and apologized, repented. I said, I was wrong. I'm sorry. He said, oh, come on. Again, very graciously. And we settled in and we were blessed. We were blessed. We wanted, or I wanted, what I wanted, the way I wanted, instead of what he wanted. I wanted my will. In 1 Corinthians 15, 31, don't go there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Paul is speaking to the church. And he said, these are the three words. I have spoken these three words to myself, reminding myself, speaking this to myself for years. Because I learned this back in the mid-80s. Paul said, I die daily. Die to what? What do you mean you die daily? What Paul was saying was, I die to my will over yours, Lord. I die to my desires over yours. I die to my wants over yours. I die daily. Now, that is an absolute and unconditional surrender to the Lord and to his will for us. I had to learn that the hard way. I didn't know anything about the Lord when I got born again. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about the truth of the word. And I grew step by step by step, and it was, boy, some hard knocks. Right after I got born again, I met a girl and I lived with her. And we slept together. And I'm born again. And you know, I knew that wasn't right. I could feel it. I didn't even know enough of the word. I said, nope, this is what I want. Then I realized that if we're sleeping together, we better get married. So we got married. And it went sideways from the beginning. It was horrible. It was hell on earth. I'm sorry. It was bad. I'm doing this vividly so that you understand. I chose it because I wanted my will. But I came to the end of myself when I finally, one day, everything was so bad. It was so awful. I was standing in my office at work and I looked out the window and I was talking with the Lord and I said, I give up. Lord, I give up. It is not my life to run. It's yours. From this moment on, it's your will for me. No matter what it is, whether I have or don't have, it doesn't matter. I want your will for me above everything else. And I die daily. And it took dying daily and sometimes hourly and sometimes by the minute. But I surrendered my will, I surrendered my life, and I changed. Circumstances didn't change a lot, but I changed. And God began to give me the victory in all those areas that I hadn't seen. I've got a lot more to tell you, but I will tell you this. David wrote in Psalm 40, verse 8, he said, I delight to do your will, O my God. I delight to. Why? Because God's will for us, from his love for us and his plan for us, and this includes those good works we were created for and those greater works, his will for us is so much bigger and better than anything we can decide or want or desire on our own. But Lord, if I do this for you and I do your will, I won't have this. No, you'll have better. Lord, if I give up my will and my desire this way, then I'm going to lose. I'm going to lack. No, you'll have more. This is how this works, because God is good. And God loves his kids. Always. And God has the best in mind and in store according to his will for every one of us. It requires us to surrender. If we do what we want to do, we get to have that. Versus, wow. I decided a long time ago I'm not going to settle for that anymore. And I'm telling you, God has changed me inside. Now, this is what he wants to do with us. And when I speak about the American church and the being asleep, being spoiled, we're blessed. I mean, we really are. We're so much more blessed than most of the rest of the world. And we've gotten really self-centered. Not you. But we've gotten really self-centered. Somewhat, maybe egotistical. Narcissistic. Maybe. Proud. I don't know. But we have determined we're going to do what we want to do. I mean, for the most part. Not everybody. Not this church. And it has put most of the church asleep. Because the good works that we're created for, the greater works that we were created for, they ain't happening. Not the way that the Lord intended or has intended or that he wills to happen in his body and through his body. So we are being jolted to be awake, to be coming back to life by the surrender first. This is the first thing. The surrender of our will, our whole life, and our desires to him for his first before anything else. No reasoning out, no justifying anything. Just, all right, Lord, that's what you want me to do. Okay. God's given me a lot of things to do, and he's told me, he's given me direction on a lot of things, and I mean, through the years, and he said, I want you to do this, and I don't want to do that. I do not want to. Lord, I do not want to do it, but I will. I will, because I want your will, because I die daily. This is what it takes. Now, I want you to understand that the supernatural has been a part of our lives, Rosie's and mine, for a long time. And honestly, I'm going into more. And I'm telling you, things are changing in me even more. Now, this is what he wants for you. These greater works, these works we were created for, these good works and all these things, this is what he wants for you. But it takes the surrender of our will. Absolute, please hear me on this, an unconditional surrender to his lordship instead of ours. Anything we hold back, we're still Lord. Anything. This is how the kingdom works on earth. This is how God's will comes to pass. How the kingdom happens on earth for us. because he wants to work through us. Yours and my life as a true disciple of Jesus Christ is never going to look like the world. Ever. Because our wills, our lives are fully and absolutely and unconditionally surrendered to him for his will for us. I had a friend, a very dear friend, my best friend at the time in Vegas. I was back in the late 80s. He was a vendor of mine when I was a project manager. And we became really good friends, and we'd take off work and golf. I mean, we'd, bye-bye, we're going to go golf. It was great. He loved the Lord. When we talked about the Lord, we shared the Lord with each other. I mean, he would cry, and he'd get emotional, and he really loved the Lord. But he lived for himself, for his will, for his life. And I loved him dearly. One day the Lord told me, I mean, it was almost audible. He said, his name was Earl, I want you to sit down with Earl and talk with him about surrendering his life. Very clearly. So the next time we went golfing, I said, okay, Lord. Next time we went golfing, we sat down on the terrace of the country club, really what it was, and looking out on that long first fairway, I talked to Earl about surrendering his life, real up front. Something happened inside, and I don't know exactly what it was, but I know he heard. And the next weekend, he was dead. Now, I'm not sure why all that happened like that, but I know that God was calling Earl. And in that surrender, I don't believe at all it was not his will for Earl to be killed early. But Earl did decide and place his will a lot of times above God's will and God's best for him. He gave them what they wanted, and they got leanness in their souls. It's not what the Lord has for us. Amen? So how do you do this? This surrender. Would you stand with me? Does anybody want to surrender their life today, really make a commitment? Can you come on up, Brad? Anybody else want to make this absolute, unconditional surrender to the Lord? This is a milestone marker day. It really is. Come on right up front here, guys. Your life is about to change. You want to walk through these times now. This is it. This is the absolute flat rock bottom beginning of what needs to happen. And this is for all of us. If your life has not been surrendered to the Lord and you're holding back, you don't have to. But it takes that moment in time with him to give up. I mean, really give up. This is it. This is going to change you. Please come up. I mean, all the way. Everybody. I want to look you in the eyeballs, okay? God has begun, it's already begun, the changes that are happening in your life. It's already started. It's already beginning. Right now, it's already happening. It's already happening because what you're up here for is to surrender unconditionally from now on for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life to His will for you. And I mean unconditionally. There's no strings attached anymore, but the change has already begun. It's already happening. Now, please close your eyes, because this is a very personal and intimate thing. This is very specifically for you. You ready to pray with me? Father God, you can repeat it after me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm sorry for running my life, even in those small areas. Thank you for forgiving me, and that there is no condemnation. But right now, at this moment today, I give up. I give up my will, my wants, my desires, my life to you. For your will, from now on, for me. And I die daily, from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. You have stepped into the changes for your life that allow the kingdom of God to work in you and through you in the good works, in the greater works, in the supernatural, like you have never done before. And I'm telling you that God will ask you to do things you never dreamed. And they will not always be agreeable to you. But what He asks you to do, it's simple. It's just not always easy. Get rid of your thoughts about it always being easy. Just do what He asks unconditionally. His will from now on. Now His will is all laid out in the Word. And His will by the Holy Spirit will lead you. Will give you impressions. Will give you. He will give you a sense. And He will speak to you. Do what He says. And everything else stop holding back. From now on, any part of your life from Him, from now on, I'm telling you, the change has begun. It has begun. You're going to see some great things for the rest of your lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I congratulate you all. Praise God. Look out, world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.